for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Price, Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is Sunday morning, April the 3rd, 2005. The Sunday morning service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Cheryl Bass is the speaker of the morning, speaking on soul ties.
We're going to talk about soul ties. We're going to talk about good soul ties and bad soul ties and how they affect our relationships. Amen? A soul tie is a bond between two individuals. The souls, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions of individuals, knit or joined together. Now, a bond or joining together of souls for good or evil. There are godly and ungodly soul ties. Soul ties will cause one person to follow another. Let's go to Ruth in the first chapter, verses 14 and 16. And we see here in the book of Ruth the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And in the 14th verse, Naomi has already spoke to her daughters and told them that they should go on. And here, and she said in the 13th verse, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Meaning, would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She's speaking here because she's lost all, both her sons, she's lost her husband. She has nothing left. There's nothing materialistically that she can see with her eyes that she can offer these young women. So she's encouraging them to go. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. It says in the Amplified Bible that she clung to her. She held on to her. And Naomi said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And Ruth said, urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. So after the years of spending time in Naomi's presence and listening to her and her husband talk about the God that they served and the people of Israel and how they were a called out people, it became clearly apparent to Ruth that she wanted to be with Naomi. This was what we would call a godly soul tie, because there was purpose and destiny, as we know, down the line for Ruth being with Naomi. Had Ruth decided that she wanted to go with Orpah and go back where she was, she would have missed out on her destiny. So God has a way of knitting us to each other. See, it's about God knitting us. Now we're going to talk here, we're going to talk one more time. It says soul ties will cause a person to follow another, as Ruth followed Naomi. It would cause a person to fulfill the desires of another. Let's go to 1 Samuel 20 and 4 and see what the Bible says about that. 1 Samuel 20 and 4. This is about David and Jonathan. It said, then Jonathan said to David, whatever you desire, I will do for you. So here we find that when there is a soul tie, good or bad, but good in this case, a person will desire to fulfill the desires of another. It's something in that person that is connected or tied to the individual where they want to please them, as in a husband and a wife, as in friends. If I know that on your birthday is coming up, and I know that you like blue, or I know that you like red, and I'm your friend, then when I go to look for something for your birthday, I'm going to try my very best to find something that I know that you like in that color, because I'm tied to you and I desire to fulfill that need. I desire to feel that need. whatever that need may be. You may have told me, well, you know, I need this and I need that. I may have a whole list of them, but I'm going to find one in that list to get you for your birthday in that color, if it's at all possible. Because I love you. Because I love you. Also in 1 Samuel 18:4, now this talks about Saul's hatred of David. This will cause a person to surrender his goods to another. In the 4th verse, 18:4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor, even his sword, his bow, and his girdle. So again, godly soul ties will cause you to give somebody something that's special to you. You won't go to your closet and find that suit that has faded in the sunlight. You'll go to your closet and you'll find something that you really like, and you'll give it to that individual. That's a godly soul tie. In 1 Samuel 18:4. React in anger when the person soul tied to is attacked. In 1 Samuel 20:34, let's go there. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. In the Amplified it says, so Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food that second day of the month, for he grieved for David because his father had disgraced him. So when a person is soul tied to another individual, when that person is attacked, they become angry. They become fierce. They become protective. Again, as in a relationship between mother and child, man and woman, brother and sister. When you love somebody and someone has done them wrong and you know they have done them wrong, that to me also ties to loyalty. You're loyal to a person. Your loyalty is tied up in that godly soul tie. And as we move further into our lesson, we'll find how much that ties to the minister and his congregation. Amen? Amen. In the same chapter, in verse 40, 1 Samuel 20:35-40, it says, in the morning Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David. This is the Amplified. And a little lad was with him. And he said to his lad, run, find the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the lad came to the place where Jonathan had shot the arrow, Jonathan called to him, is not the arrow beyond you? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. The lad gathered up the arrow and came to his master. But the lad knew nothing. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and told him, go, carry them to the city. What we're seeing here in this particular verse is that protect another in times of danger. There's a covering that will happen. If I know that somebody is coming to hurt my friend and I see them coming over the hill and I trust and I believe that my friend is innocent, and until we can get to innocence and believe, prove his innocence, I might hide him. I might hide him or her. And then when the people come, I might stand and say, well, you know, I don't believe they've done anything, but as soon as I have an opportunity and I talk to them, I'll make sure that we come together. Because you will stand, even though your friend may be wrong, you stand with them because you've been tied to them and you protect them. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to agree with the wrong. As a friend, as a godly friend with a godly soul tie, you're going to tell them, now you know that was wrong. Did you do that? And if they say they did, then you're going to have to position them to accept the responsibility of what they have done that is wrong. That's a friend. And then you stand by them through that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In 2 Samuel 20:2, it says, In 2 Samuel 20:2, I'll start with the first verse. There happened to be there a base and contemptible fellow named Seba, son of Birchi, a Benjamite. he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David and no inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tent, O Israel." So all the men of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri. But the men of Judah stayed faithfully with their king from the Jordan to Jerusalem. So there is loyalty between a leader and his followers. Now, we are talking about godly soul ties. This is a thing that God does. God knits us. And just like godly soul ties, there are ungodly soul ties, as we'll see. Now, ungodly soul ties can be formed through fornication. Let's go to Genesis 34, first through the third verse. Now, Dinah, daughter of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob, went out unattended to see the girls of the place. And when Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he seized her, lay with her, and humbled, defiled, and disgraced her. But his soul longed for and clung to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke comfortingly to her young heart's wishes. So here we see that an ungodly soul tie can be formed through fornication. So any kind of relationship... Oh, I'm sorry, that's Genesis 34, 3 through 1. So here we see that an ungodly soul tie formed through fornication will also cause you to attach yourself to someone. This is why God tells us that we should only have sex after we are married. Because if you have sex before you're married and then marry the person, I believe that if you read the Word of God, it's either this story or one very much like it, that after he got her and was married to her, he didn't like her no more. Because it was an ungodly soul tie in the first place. I have been in a church where people have fallen into fornication and had sex, and the pastor separated them and told them that if they loved each other, then they would still love each other in 6 months to a year. And he denied that they would see it. Now, it was easy because it was in his own family. So he denied that they would see each other for 6 months to a year. And guess what happened? They did find out that they were not right for each other. So fornication is one of those things that is talked about, but it's not, you've not pressed upon the body of Christ the significance and the harm that it can do for you. And especially if you do it and then think, okay, well, we can get married and make it right. Getting married does not make fornication right. You must repent. Live apart from each other, and then be sure that God is saying that you are meant for each other. Now, I know there are a lot of situations where that's not happening, and God is so qualified and so capable of tweaking it and fixing it. Because especially if children are born out of that relationship, it's going to be very difficult. If you spent time with that person, you're talking 7, 8, 10, 12 years, then the best thing to do is to seek God with all of your heart, and believe God that everything the enemy had set up for you to be bad, that the angel of God will destroy it, and that you will be able, because God is able to take a pig's ear and make it into a silk purse, because that's who God is. Amen? Amen. In 2 Chronicles 18, 1 through 6, we find that an ungodly soul tie can cause you to have a check in your spirit. Let's go to 2 Chronicles and see what the Word of God is saying there. Now, I like to get a check in my spirit. Sometimes I think that's a godly thing. You get a check in your spirit about something, that's God trying to tell you, don't touch that, you know, you feel like that little robot, you know, danger, danger, don't do that. You know, and you listen for those things, because God has promised us that he will lead and guide us by his spirit. And his spirit operates in us 24/7. But a lot of times we miss hearing what God is saying, because if we become ungodly soul tied to an individual. Now, it talks about fornication, but I have seen people become ungodly soul tied to people just spending time over the telephone talking and being friends. And that friendship goes off from being friendship into idolatry, where the one person of the stronger personality begins to tell the other person starts asking them, well, should I do this and should I do that? Should I wear this and what color should I wear? They begin to lose sight of who they are, and they begin to give themselves totally to that individual, allowing them to make decisions for them. Now, that isn't God either, because God has called us to be individual. If he can make snowflakes individual, then he can can make us individual. When we come together and we get married, he doesn't mean I'm supposed to lose my whole personality and be exactly what you want me to be. He means that what we do is we come together and those two distinct personalities begin to complement each other. And as we both seek God and seek his faith, he begins to work in us that needs to be worked in so that we complement him and complement each other. And as we complement each other, having God within our relationship, it's a compliment to him. Because people look at you and they see him in your relationship. Because how many of you know that it takes God to bring two different people together as one? So our marriages and our relationships, as they are godly, are a manifestation of God's personality and character in our lives. And when we have problems with relationships, you can believe that there is an ungodly soul tie someplace that needs to be worked out. Some of us are ungodly soul tied to our mothers and our fathers, and some of them are passed and gone away. And we are still ungodly soul tied to them. Why? Because it's something that they said or something that they did to cause us to be stunted in our growth and cause us not to be able to move forward in the things of God. To not even to be able to move forward within relationships. Every time you get into a relationship, you can hear your voice of your father or your mother telling you, you ain't nothing. Ain't nobody gonna want you. You ugly. You too big. You too tall. Your feet too big. Your ears look funny. And these things cause you to not be able to develop fully within a relationship. And that does show an ungodly soul tie. Why? Because the Word of God says you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Amen. Amen. And when the Bible says that you are beautifully and wonderfully made, then that means whatever anybody had to say about you being too this, too that, too tall, too that, ears too big, it don't mean nothing. It means nothing to God. God was not blind when he made you. He knew exactly what he was doing. That's right. Amen. He knew exactly what he was doing. And because he's God and he knows what he's doing, he's never made a mistake. Then you have to get up in the morning and say, well, here I am. The perfect image of what God wants me to be. Now, you know, we can always get into that thing of, well, you know, I am just a little overweight and all that. Well, yes. Yes, we can. We can do that to ourselves. But see, that's where, that's even still where God comes in and allows you to see yourself through his eyes, and then you begin to do things that will allow you to lose the weight or change your eating habits so that you can live longer and God can live through you for a longer period of time and people can see the love of God operating in your life through that, okay? It's all tied to just honoring God with our lives and being soul tied only to him. That's why it's important that when we come to Christ and we find out who we are in him, that we begin to deny ourselves or to break off any relationships that we have had with organizations. Because when you join every organization, you find yourself, you can be soul tied to that organization. Because they have these little creeds and things that you want that they ask you to say. So if you belong to, if you are Soror and you belong to the Deltas and the thises and the that and the thises and the that is an ungodly soul tie. Because you will find that you spend a whole lot of time doing things for a cause that may not necessarily be the cause or the purpose or the call of God on your life. Now, it might be all right for somebody else. You don't want to get off into one of those religious things where just because it's not good for you, that it's not good for anybody. I don't say that. If you have a problem with alcohol, and you cannot go into the bars, you should not be going into the bars trying to minister to people to come out if you've got a problem with alcohol. Now, see, that doesn't bother me. My deliverance was so complete, it just sinks. And it bothers me to be in the presence of it because I know demons are running all around and people are getting lustful and stuff like that. But it doesn't bother me if I had to go into a place like that to bring somebody out. Amen? But so you have to understand who you are, who God called you to be, and where your calling is. And make sure your calling is sure. And your calling is sure. You cannot be tied to any fraternal organization or anything that's going to cause you to spend more time perpetuating their mission, and you cannot take the mission of God and your destiny and purpose into that. If that's not a part of where God is taking you, or if God has sent you there for a season, then recognize the season, and when it's time to go, get your bags, pack your bags, and go. Because it means you have planted the seed, you have met who you're supposed to meet, you have said what you're supposed to say, get your stuff and go. You cannot stay beyond the time that you're supposed to stay. And I say that from experience, because I had joined an organization, was talking about scholarships for girls, and I really loved it. And then the more they was trying to bring me up to another level, you know, I was like, looking at all the time it was taken away from me. And I was like, wait a minute. And then took time away from here, time away from that. And finally I realized the more you get, move you up in these organizations, the more you find out it's all about money. It's all about money. There's very little thought about the people on this level who see that organization as a way for fellowship outside of the church and, you know, a way to help young girls go to college and all that kind of stuff. And those are good things in and of themselves. But if they take you away from the very purpose and the very calling of God and cause you to cause people to pay $75 for a punch cake that somebody cooked, and then when you get to the top, they're making $130,000 a year. And the people that are making the punch cakes, you know, are little old grannies back in the kitchen who are living on fixed income. There was something wrong with that for me. Now, that might have been all right for somebody else, but for me, there was something wrong with that. And so I had to break that soul tie to that organization and pull out. The last of what I have to do is in May, and I'm done with that. But I made the inroad, I really believe the inroad that I was supposed to make, I did. Because I believe that on that level, I was able to minister God through my personality and character, the new one that God gave me. And I believe that it touched and affected a lot of women. And those women who did not move and who did not wanted to do things just the way they've always been doing them were very irritated with me for that. But I knew that there was a woman there who was battered and abused out of an abused situation. And they were not paying. So I realized then that when you get into situations like that, there's always a place for ministry, but you have to realize it, and then you have to realize when it's over. And believe it or not, terrible thing to say, but I have to say that with me leaving, those people that were borderline, that began to realize that it was not fulfilling a commitment in their lives that they had to God, they're leaving too. So I believe I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm done. But everybody may not have that call. So be very careful about who and what you soul tie yourself to. Soul ties will also cause your works to be destroyed. Let's see in 2 Chronicles 20, 35 through 37. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. He joined him in building ships to go to Tarshish, building them in Ezo-Geber. The Elzeah, son of, big word, of somebody prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have joined Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy your work. So the ships were wrecked and unable to go to Tarshish. So what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that when you align yourself with an ungodly soul tie, even though you have the best plan in the world, it can be a God idea, but the minute you defile it by soul tying yourself with someone who is wicked, you destroy all of your good works. So Jehoshaphat had a good idea. He was supposed to do those ships. That was what he was supposed to do. But because he joined himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who was very wicked, the ships were destroyed. So be careful of your good works. It's like going into business. You don't go into business with somebody that is not on the same page with you. Because all of your good works, all of your good ideas, everything that God has given you will not work in an environment like that, because you have soul tied yourself. You've signed a contract that you're going to work with this person and you're going to do something. And that makes every bit of sense to me as I'm standing here right now. I don't know, but it makes sense to me. If he could leave before the Lord. So how can God, you know, that's it. That's the other one. That's the other one. The spirit of Saul or the spirit of Joab. Now that spirit of Joab, I was reading about that too. You know, those people, they just want preeminence. Now Joab is more sneaky than Saul. Joab does the same thing that Saul does, but Joab is very, very sneaky. As long as you say, oh, Joab is so wonderful. Joab, thank you so much for what you've done. Joab is going to be okay. The minute you don't thank Joab publicly for what Joab has done, Joab is going to go back behind your back and start doing things. I can remember that when Joab heard about Absalom in the tree, right? He heard about Absalom being caught up in the tree with his hair. And the young man came back and said, Absalom is in the tree, but he ain't dead yet. And Absalom said, well, why did you kill him? And the guy that brought the message was like, oh, no. And you know why? Because he had heard everybody say, David tell him, say, don't kill him. Whatever happens, don't kill him. And he knew by looking at Joab and some of the things Joab had done, that if he had killed Absalom, then Joab was going to kill him and say, David, I killed him because he didn't do what you say. And then if he didn't kill him, and he said to Joab, no, I didn't kill him, then Joab might turn around and kill him. So he had to side up with Joab to keep from getting killed and say, oh, no, I didn't do that. It's like I left it for you to do. You know, so that spirit will cause you to walk out of God's order too. So you have to be careful of that Joab spirit. Maybe we'll do a teaching on Joab. So it's a very sneaky spirit. It lays traps for you, and it positions you that either you do what he says do, and if you don't do what he said do, then there's an open door where he'll be able to get you when nobody else is looking because you did something. And I said, that's really kick-ass. I think I know two or three of them. I think I've been hit by two or three of them. Now that I'm thinking about it, I just didn't have a name for them until I read that article. But it is so true that when you start out to do good things and you're so tied to the Lord and he's giving you ideas and moving you forth and thrusting you forth in your ministry, and your ministry can be in the marketplace, your ministry can be in the hospital, your ministry can be wherever it is that God has placed you at the time. You do have to be careful of the Joabs and the Sauls who wish to take over that that you have. And some of them will be bold enough to tell the others who God is knitting to you in a godly soul tie, that they should not join with you because. And they think about all these other things within your personality, or, you know, they ain't strong enough. I don't think they got the goods to take this all the way through. That's a Joab spirit. When we talk about the godly soul ties, we talked about witchcraft, which is exactly what the Joab and the soul spirit work through. That you can form a soul tie through witchcraft. Now, witchcraft, of course, to me, has always been the very opposite of the Holy Ghost. When you cannot get somebody by prayer and fasting, if the person is not soul tied to you and does not want to go in the direction that you are going, your best bet is to just say, okay, praise the Lord. And you go ahead and do what God is calling you to do. Because if you get so fearful that you just believe and you're just going to make that person go along with you, then what you are forming is an ungodly soul tie through witchcraft. Because anytime you get somebody to do something for you that they are not uncomfortable doing and they don't want to do, and you keep talking to them until they do it, then you have formed an ungodly soul tie. You have manipulated and controlled them. This is why the Word of God says yea and amen to everything. You state your purpose. You wait for the person to answer yea or nay. If they don't answer yea or nay, they say, do you need more information? And they say, no, I think I got everything I need to make my decision. You say okay, and you go on with it. And you let everything fall where they may. And believe and know in your heart that if they don't come along with you at that time, it may not be their timing and it may not be their season. And they may, by hooking up with you in an ungodly soul tie, be the very person that keeps the vision and the purpose that God has placed on your life for coming through. Have you listened to God and just left them alone? Or maybe they need more nurturing along the way. But whatever it is, if God does not release them to be in your life, then let it go. Let it go. That is a, sometimes that's a hard walk because you really feel that that person should be with you. And if you operate in a prophetic gift, you may even look at them and know they're supposed to be with you. But still, you do not encourage them, even if you see it prophetically. Because to me, if you say, well, I really feel that the Spirit of the Lord is saying you're supposed to do that, that to me is still manipulation. That's still manipulation. So even if I say it, I won't say it. I'll just look at them and go, okay, see ya. And I just keep going because that's between them and God. And you cannot place yourself in the middle of it. All you do then is muddy the waters even more. So you just go on with God. And if they come to you and they say something to you and you look at them and you start smiling and they say, well, you know, I went home and I just couldn't sleep. I just really feel like, I really thought that God is telling me to do this. It's not like I want to do it, but I just really feel that he's telling me to do it. Then you get a good little laugh and say, oh, praise God. Let's just go on with God and let's do it. And that's more comfortable. To me, that's more comfortable because the person then knows on their own God has spoken to them. They have heard from God. So now you can move on the same page toward the vision and the purpose that God has given you in your life. Amen? You know that there is a demonic spirit that destroys good soul ties, and it's called the good soul tie breaker. And when you're praying for people and have relationship problems, and they just can't, you know, and you can look up and you can ask them if they want to share that with you, or if you know on their life is divorce after divorce, and one woman's been married 3 times, another one in the family been married 4 times, and you know, no relationships, no stability. Perhaps there is a problem with a good soul tiebreaker being on that family line or being in your life operating to keep you from establishing godly soul ties so that you can have good relationships with people. So that's a spirit that you might want to put, just, you know, put it off to the side, a little sidebar when you're praying with somebody and you still feel that there's not a breakthrough. You know, try it. It can't hurt. You know, if they get deliverance from it, praise God, they're free. If they didn't want, maybe it's somebody else. But keep that in mind because there have been times when we've prayed for people and come against that good soul tiebreaker spirit and it's just cut up a lot of stuff and all of a sudden the person starts to get deliverance and starts to get set free. There are also spirits of false love, which they call rosemary, that cause people who are not in love to marry, thus forming a bad soul tie. Ungodly soul ties are relationships that are based on lust, witchcraft, domination, and bondage, which we've all talked about, which we've talked about this morning. Good soul ties are relationships that are edifying and based on love. Let's go to Colossians 2 and 2. Let's just read it. It's good. The good soul tie, it's called a good soul tiebreaker. Oh, rosemary. It's spirit of false love. You want me to pray for you for that? Did anybody find Colossians? It's missing in my Bible. Oh, there it is. Colossians 2 and 2. Let's see what the Bible says here. Colossians 2 and 2, starting with the first verse. For I want you to know how great is my solitude for you, how severe and inward struggle I am engaged in for you, and for those believers at Laodicea, and for all who, like yourselves, have never seen my face and known me personally. For my concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged, as they are knit together in what? Love. That they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessings of assured conviction of understanding, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly that mystic secret of God, which is Christ, the Anointed One. Amen? Amen. So our relationships, our good soul ties, are based on the love of God. As we have and display more of the love of God in our hearts, the better our relationships become one with another. Amen? Demon spirits can be transferred from one person to another through the avenue of these soul ties, as we've said. Spirits of the Lord can also be transferred this way. Godly soul ties are created by the Lord between a pastor and his members to help him carry out the vision or the plan that God has placed in his heart. The soul tie becomes a channel through which the pastor can feed them with knowledge and understanding. And we find that where? In Jeremiah, where God talks about that. That's found in Jeremiah 3 and 15. And what does it say? That's our very favorite scripture, right? And I will give you spiritual shepherds after my own heart in the final time, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding and judgment. And I believe that that word judgment means discernment, so that you'll be able to discern between good and evil and make positive judgmental decisions about your life and where you're going to go based on the wisdom and the understanding that you receive from the shepherd, so that the Word of God opens to you, so that the Word of God goes from just Logos word on a page and becomes Rhema. That when you're reading that word, is you're just hungry for it. Because I tell you that you as the body, me as the body, we can never go any farther than the head. If the head doesn't have a thirst and a hunger for the word, then you won't get it. You won't receive it. You won't get it from it. We have a hunger. We have a hunger in this house for history and for the word, because that's what Glenn likes. Glenn likes the history of the Word of God. Doc likes the Word of God. Doc likes to pray. So if these men are our overseers, then we at some point in time should be able to see that thing growing inside of us that, you know, I want to know more about that. That sounded pretty interesting. I think I want to read up on that. And then it causes you to have a place of conversation with them. Because now you can say, you know, Pastor, you know, Glenn, I was reading that and blah, 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 blah. That's an encouragement to them. That's not a turn off. When they give you something to study or something is stirred up in you, like prayer, because God loves to pray, and he comes in here one morning at 6 o'clock and you hear it 5:30 and it's already fired up, oh my goodness. That's encouragement to him. That's encouragement. When we begin to manifest the godly soul ties and the godly spirit that is in the leadership of the house. Amen? Amen. Amen. There are spirits of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that are being transferred through this godly soul tie. God joins people to certain ministries, the ministers that will cause them to willingly submit to his authority and help him carry out his vision. Satan will attempt to pervert this love bond between a pastor and his flock by using the soul tie as a channel to transfer spirits of lust, mind control, and bondage to the followers. This is why it is important for the pastor to receive as much deliverance as possible, that he may be a pure and holy channel through which the spirits of the Lord can flow. Evil spirits in an undelivered pastor can transfer to the congregation through his books, tapes, laying on of hands, and so forth. Satan will also attempt to pervert this love bond through lust and other spirits in the members that will cause them to lust after or worship the pastor. Now, we see a lot of that in traditional churches. You know, there's one thing to honor the pastor and to honor the leadership and those that are over us, but it's another to get so tied to the individual that whatever they say, you know, it's law. You don't bother reading the word for yourself. You don't bother interpreting the word for yourself. And you start doing these things for them and elevating and lifting them up. And you will find in a lot of cases, I won't say every one, but there's a point in time God says that I'll have no other God before me. So you have to be very careful of that. Honoring these men to a point that they become an idol. That you stop praying and you stop reading the word for yourself and asking God what you should do in a situation, and you keep calling him up, asking him what he wants you to do or what God is saying to do. That's idolatry. God will not have it. God will not have it. And if you want to know how come you had a friend and y'all were such good friends for like a year or 2 years, and all of a sudden something happened and y'all not speaking, it's because perhaps you made them an idol. Perhaps you started going to that person and asking them question after question about the things of God instead of going to God and asking God about those things. God means what he says. He said, I'm a jealous God. I will have no other God before me. Do not make a person a God in your life. That's a sure way to disrupt and destroy a relationship. And if you know you have that tendency and you are believing God for your deliverance, because you have a doormat spirit, you have a spirit of, what's that, a codependent spirit, and you know you need some deliverance from that spirit, then you need to get deliverance from that spirit, because it will not allow you to develop a godly relationship that will be workable.
The curse that comes on us, the leaning on the arm of God.
Amen, amen, amen. And just in case that didn't come out on the tape, in the Bible there is, it speaks of a curse that comes upon you when you lean upon the arm of the flesh. So now not only are you going to have to break the ungodly soul tie, but you're going to have to also break the curse. Amen, amen. Satan will also attempt to cause people to join themselves to pastors that God did not lead them to. So that's something that I see happening quite a bit. There are a lot of times when women, and I say women only because I'm a woman, and I've seen it though in men. So let's just say people. They go from church to church looking for the best pastor for them. And they sit and they find a pastor that they think, or in their, it feels good to them. They sit there and they think, oh, this is where I want to be. The praise is just the way I like it. Oh, bless God, we're going to rock this Sunday. I know it's going to be good. And the pastor got a word. He always got a fresh word. And you go over there and you sit there in that service and you try to join in with what they're doing. And all of a sudden you find out that this pastor is not any better than the last pastor that you was at. The only pastor that you really stayed with is the one that kept telling you you need deliverance and you didn't want to get it. So you got a problem. You got a problem there. You cannot go to a pastor or to a church that God has not called you to. A lot of people think they can, but I assure you, you cannot. It doesn't. It won't feel right. You will not get the blessings that you're supposed to have. And if you force yourself to stay there and join the church and join the congregation, get in the choir, you will find that you stick out like a sore thumb. There's always something going on. Either you find yourself being constantly offended. It just does not fit. And then after a period of time, you realize that you're not even getting anything from the sermon. So actually, it's spiritual adultery, because you're really not supposed to be at that church and you're not supposed to be at that with that pastor. So what you're feeling is that that little feeling that you're getting is like spiritual adultery. You're in the wrong bed with the wrong man. Just that simple. So you need to back out and sit down and ask God. And when God tells you where you're supposed to go, then go there and sit. Because the Bible tells us that where you are in the body of Christ, that's where you're going to flourish. Amen? Amen. And God is good, though. You know, He'll let you go someplace. And He'll let you stay for a while. He'll let you move in and out and do certain things. But if you're young in the Lord, you'll find yourself being bumped about from pillar to post. And you'll end up feeling like you're schizophrenic in the spirit, and you are. Because in order to not be schizophrenic and not be double-minded, you have to be stable. And in order to be stable, you got to be in one place, getting the same word by the same pastor, getting that same spirit that God wants you to get at that time in your life. Sometimes God will move you, but you have to know that God is moving you. And you have to wait for Him to tell you where He wants you to go. Because there are times, so it's a spiritual maturity is what's important. And you will usually mature enough at a church that when it's time to go, you'll know it and the pastor will know it. But see, we're so afraid of letting go and trusting that we don't want to trust it. And then we have pastors who have not received the amount of deliverance that they need to receive so that they can say to you by the Spirit, yes, it is time for you to move on. So I really believe that what God is doing in the spirit now is He's beginning, it's like an open door, that if we'll reach out and in the Word and begin to cry out to the Lord, that He's going to anoint us with spiritual wisdom, spiritual revelation, and spiritual understanding to know the timings and the seasons of God for our life and for what He's doing in our community and what He's doing in the nation. Because we are triune people. Spirit, flesh, and soul. And so our whole world is in three pieces. I have to be concerned about my personal life, my spiritual life, and my community life. Yes, we have to be concerned about community. Jesus was concerned about community. He was out in the community feeding the people. They didn't just all go to his house to get fed. He was out on the mountaintop feeding them. So we do have to be concerned about that. In some places, it's called the marketplace ministry. But when we find ourselves so internal and introverted, where we don't realize that the community out there is where the unsaved are, the confused, the ones that they call crackheads, the ones they call prostitutes, they're in the community. And that's where we're called to. The commission said go out to the highways and the byways. And the highways and the byways are not always Africa, not always Russia, not always Europe. Highways and byways can be Grove Street, honey. I'm telling you, you can see some stuff on Grove Street in Hot Springs, in the community. So I believe that that's what God is doing. That's what God is showing us. I believe that he wants us to be developed soldiers through intercession and understand the difference between a person that's called to do intercession and a person that's called to do warfare prayer. I believe that God is calling us to understand that we have to get our lives straight personally, and from out of that and out of the love that he places in us. And when we love ourselves, do you know how much easier it is to love somebody else? You know, people used to say that, but until I got to that place where I understood what God was saying, I was so tied to thinking, but there's another, those unbelief, those belief mindsets that we have from way back when that have not been challenged. We've not allowed them to be challenged by the Word of God, so that we're no longer thinking our thoughts. We're no longer thinking what we were taught in Sunday school. We're no longer thinking what our parents told us we needed to think, or doing what our parents told us to do. But what we're doing is what God has called us to do, that we have allowed God to work in with us. And every time a thought comes up, we take it captive and take it before God and say, is this my thought? Is this your thought? And if it's my thought, where did it come from? Did you give me this thought? Why am I thinking this thought? Deliverance is all about that. And as you begin to begin to come against spirits of mind control and ungodly soul ties and things that people have spoken over you and spoke to you, and you begin to tear those things down, you begin to become so tied to God that what he thinks, you think. You get so close to him, it's like the footprints in the sand. When you walk, he's walking. And you start thinking to yourself, where is he? Where is he? He's right there. He's in you. He's in you. He's in you. And he will operate through us. He will work through us. He will give us that we need. Because it's like when I think about the soul tie, I think about the vine. I think about he is the vine and we are the branches. And all the nourishment that we need is in him. And if I'm a vine and I'm like my little vine, like I'm holding my little branch and I'm just connected over here to the soul tie. And I'm just getting all that God has for me. Because I'm praying, Lord, I want the mind of Christ and the heart of God. Why? Because if my mind had been right, I wouldn't have took so long to get saved in the first place. If I had known it was going to be this good, you know what I'm saying? I would have jumped on that a long time ago. I'm hanging out. You know, I thought I had it all. I had it all. I mean, I knew about the Lord. I knew John 3:16. I figured that was all that I needed. But there was something yearning inside of me for more. And as you begin to know more and understand more about God and move into the things of God and you become so tied to him, he becomes your rock. He becomes your shelter. He becomes the protection that you need because you begin to trust him. Because day upon day, hour upon hour, he begins to show himself strong in your life. Just getting up every morning with our right mind, our limbs working, that's a miracle within itself. Because there are people, as I said earlier this morning, that did not even get up this morning, let alone got up, and something wasn't working. It was working yesterday, but when they got up this morning, it wasn't working. So that's a miracle within itself. If we could just not take God for granted and realize that every day we jump up and go, glory, hallelujah. Why? Because it's a miracle. I'm up this morning, devil, and you're in trouble. You're in trouble because I'm up. And I got sense enough to know that you're after me. So let's just start the day off right by binding you before my feet hit the floor. Amen. And start today. Put your helmet on. Put your breastplate of righteousness on. Put on your shoes of peace. Girdle yourself up with truth. Amen? And do that that God has called you to do. And every day it may not be this big giant miracle. But how many of you know it's the little foxes that mess things up? So it's the little miracles that keep you strong. It's the little things that cause you to appreciate the big miracle when it does happen. And then when it does happen, you're not so surprised at the big miracle. Because you've been seeing the little miracles all along the way. And those little miracles were the ones that strengthened you. So when the big miracle came, you was like, look at God. All right. And then you have an understanding of how he made the big miracle happen because you were paying attention to him as he fit the little pieces of the puzzle together for that big miracle. And I'm watching him do that. I'm becoming more sensitive, you know. There was a time, there's a time in our lives, amen, that we get to a point where we are so on fire with God. Oh, we're just so on fire. We see things, smell things. I mean, we're just having at it. And then you come like an amber, you know, like a fiery amber. You're just like in the fireplace and you're just glowing. Nothing exciting. You're just glowing for God. You ain't doing nothing. You're just glowing for God. You know, you just, somebody blowing you, throwing a good word and you just flame up. Oh, bless God. But you know, you're not in that big flame that you were, you know, when you first got saved. And I was like, you know, God, I like that. I wanted to be that big flame. But you know, you will burn yourself out. It's good to be that little amber in the fireplace that just keep everybody warm, keep everybody in place. And you get a good word, and you just flame up and just warm everybody up, and everybody gets delivered, and then you just run down, you know, like that. You know, that's pretty good. That's a stable thing. It's stable. It's dependable. And you know, you want to be stable. You want to be dependable in a world that's all confused. So it's very important for us to recognize that we have to be so tied to God and we have to be linked up with him so that we know where he's going. We know where he wants us to go and we can hear him very clearly and we can hear him. He's always talking. He's a God that's always talking. But sometimes, you know, you get a party line. If you get, you know, if you get a little too cold, you get a party line. You start hearing the voice of God in your soul. Your flesh gets to talking to you about things that you need to be doing. And so you have to pray and say, okay, Lord, I think I got a party line going here. I don't know which one is you and which one is me, so I'm in trouble. And if I don't have to make a decision at that time, I won't. I get up with God and get to praying and binding and loosening. And right in the middle of that binding and loosening, you know, there's something that'll break. And it'll become very, very clear to you exactly what it is that God wants you to do. But we have to remember, break those soul ties, break the ungodly soul tie breakers in our lives, and remember that powerful lust, mind control, and witchcraft spirits operate in pastors and can attract people to their ministries. This attraction is demonic, and once the soul tie is formed, there's a demonic transfer between the pastor and the members. Some people need deliverance from the spirits of these pastors once the soul tie has been renounced and broken. So people leave those environments and they still can't quite get it together. They still feel like they're like a sick ship. Yeah, they can't quite get it together. And that's because they need to renounce all of the teachings and everything that they learned under that ungodly soul tie. And that's not only your pastor, but a past husband, past girlfriend, parents, mother, father, sister, brother, anybody that was in authority over you for a period of time and there was offense or hurt or you were going in a direction or you find yourself confused now, try breaking those ungodly soul ties. You know, if it's God, you can't break it. But if it's not God, a one day fast and praying and listening to the Word of God and reading the Word of God out loud to yourself will break things off of you. Amen? Remember that deliverance will only destroy those relationships that are not God. Ungodly pastoral soul ties will cause the person to be in bondage spiritually, and this soul tie will not be edifying. The person will feel as if they are dying spiritually. Soul ties to ministers become ungodly when we think too highly of them. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 1 and 12, 4, and 6. The Lord will touch a person's heart to follow and support a certain leader, as he did in 1 Samuel 10 and 26. Just because a pastor needs deliverance does not mean that the Lord has not joined you to his ministry. Most pastors are in need of some type of deliverance. The danger comes when he refuses to accept and submit to deliverance. Then the Lord may lead you away from one and have you cleave to another. Beware of demonic attraction to a minister that will cause you to cleave to his ministry. We must especially be discerning in the area of witchcraft and mind control. God causes people to be attracted to certain ministries through the preaching of the minister. And that's found in Acts 17, 33, and 34. Amen? Amen. And this is an experience that I had, and this was recently. I was at a conference, and a minister, he was from Africa, came to me, and he was introduced to me, and we were all talking to this minister, and everybody was all glad and happy to see him and everything. And I noticed that he was, you know, talking to everybody else. He was real standoffish when he came to me. Well, you know, back in the day, I was like, well, I'm still so rejected. You know, now I say, okay, it's all right. I say, maybe I'm not in the intreatable spirit today. So I say, Lord, bless me. So that when I walk in peace. Let me have an intreatable spirit. I don't want nobody to be afraid of me, right? I want the love of God to shine forth in them. So I go on. Finally, we sit down and we begin to talk. And I said a few things about myself, and not too much. The next thing I know, I was getting a prophetic word that one was having a vision and that one could see me in their ministry at a computer. Yeah, that. Good thing I'm seasoned, right? I was like, I got real southern. I said, do tell. And I was like, and for some reason, having not even met this person, I had already told the people that was telling me that, you know, that he was around. I said, you know, you really need to be careful, because a lot of times coming from Africa into the United States, you have two types of ministers coming. You have those that have really had a relationship with God and have really been delivered, and they minister the word of God. And then you have those who are kind of got a little stuff all mixed up in there yet, and they still need some deliverance, you know. And I was just uncomfortable. I felt like this person needed more deliverance, and I felt like that word was supposed to get me excited, and that I was supposed to run and tell somebody. And I even felt that there was a way, somehow or another, that I was supposed to give them money or something to help them do something. Now, I didn't tell everybody else. I prayed about it. And I said, because I had said before they came, be wary, be careful, and know that you know that you know. And I'm telling you, I don't do that all the time. But it was something about that. And I felt that statement was made to me to soul tie me immediately. And I wasn't having it. I wasn't having it. But that's only because of the teaching that I've had, and I'm not throwing it away. And I'm careful. I'm careful because I'm not out of any kind of pride, but I know that God has invested something in me. I know that he has, like he's invested something in you. And when you know that God has invested something in you, then you don't let nobody just come along and touch his stuff. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, don't touch me. So what do you mean? God ain't gave me no revelation like that before I left home. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't click. It was like we said earlier about the soul tie. Something didn't click in my spirit. So we have to be very cognizant of the enemy and his wiles, the things that he's going to bring to you. Because he knows you. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. I've often said to the women in the women's ministry that the devil knows what kind of man to send you. He knows what you like in a man. He knows how tall to send him. He knows how to bring him to you so that he's dressed in what you like to see him dressed in. He even wears the kind of cologne you like. It ain't too strong. It's just right. Because, you know, senses have a lot to do with that. That's why in some churches they don't want women to wear perfume, because certain kinds of perfume could cause men, and, you know, you get your senses all involved in everything. So you have to come to a place of understanding that and being sensitive to the Holy Ghost and doing what the Holy Ghost tells you to do when the Holy Ghost tells you to do it, because you never know. There are some places they used to, at certain churches, the women were asked to, not because it had anything at all to do with their salvation, but what the pastor indicated to the women was that he wanted us to be modest and dress, not because he didn't trust us or didn't want us to wear certain styles of clothes, but he wanted us to be cognizant of the fact that some of the men in the church wanted to live it and some of the women in the church wanted to live it, and how we dress. And so he was also after the men, too, because that was during the time, you know, you wear jeans, and the men were wearing them tight jeans and everything. And was like, man, you don't need to be wearing those tight jeans. Everybody in here is not delivered. I don't care what you say. So, you know, so there is a thing of modesty that you do because you love your brother. I love my brothers. It's just certain things I'm not going to wear because I love my brothers. I don't want to be the reason for them falling. And I, you know, I go fashion around with the wrong thing on, and they say something to me, then what? I'm all offended. Well, I shouldn't have had it on, you know. And I don't mean that like in a situation where they tell you if a man hits you or rapes you, then you shouldn't have been wearing what you're wearing. I don't mean it like that, because you're never supposed to be. If you say stop, you're supposed to stop. I don't want to get off into that and have anybody think that I'm taking sides and that I'm not. All I'm saying is that in the church house where you go, and even on the streets where you live, if you care about God's people, if you care about the brothers of God and you're a woman, then you want to dress modestly because you don't want them to fall. They're struggling like you're struggling to stay saved. So why are you going to go to the mall and shop with your girlfriends who are unsaved and come back with one of them skirts that just hit below your fanny about 2 inches? And then you're going to praise God. Oh, what is the brothers looking at? You're up there praising God. As soon as you raise your hand, you lose your 2 inches. Amen? Okay, and they done lost everything. They messed up now. How you going to go on with praise and worship? You know? So think about that. I mean, it is funny. It is. But I mean, it's the truth. We need to be cognizant of one another. It has nothing to do, like, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God and me projecting an image that will draw people closer to God and the God in me and not me and my flesh. Amen? Amen. Well, we know that the Satan will work through a minister to attract people using the spirits of, and I'm going to call these spirits out, and there's a good book that we have in the back that you can look this up and it'll go into more detail. But the spirits that generally will attach themselves to the men and women of God and they have not received deliverance is Orion, Prince Charming, Eloquence, and the Orator. They can speak. Oh, man, they can speak. Oh, they have a way with words like you wouldn't believe. So we are always to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and cleave unto him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I thank God for this word today. I pray that this word will have blessed you, and that something has been said has taken the covers off the devil, and that we recognize who he is, and that we only want to be so tied to God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just going to pray a minute for you, and then we have a couple of praise reports, and I think Doc may have something that he wants to share. So let's just pray just for a second. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you praise this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us an understanding and a revelation of soul ties. We thank you, Father God, that we right now, in the name of Jesus, take authority over every ungodly soul tie, the godly soul tie breaker. We break your power right now in our lives and over the people of God and those that are listening on the tape. We break your power now in the name of Jesus. We take authority and we call you down. We loose the angels things of God to go in and pull out the ungodly soul ties. Have the angels pull them out like they pull the tares from the wheat of our heart, God. We ask you to pull them out of the mind, the will, and the emotions right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord God, that we would be soul tied to you, that a revelation will come within our hearts, and as we read the word, that it's you and you alone that we need to be soul tied. Father, we are the branches, and you are the vine, and through the vine we receive life. Well, we know there is life in the blood, there is life in your word, and we give you praise and glory and honor for it. We thank you that the sword of the Lord moves through the camp of the enemy within our hearts, within our minds, within our wills, and in our emotions. And we come against the spirit of pride. We come against the spirits of selfishness. We come against those spirits right now in the name of Jesus. And you must manifest and go. Loose yourself from us right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. We bind the strong man right now in Jesus' name. And we say to the underlings, you must go. You must go, for the word of God has been spoken today, and signs and wonders shall follow in the name of Jesus. So loose the hold on the people of God. Manifest yourself and go where Jesus is telling you to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you that those spirits of mind-blocking, mind-binding, and mind-blasting-binding spirits of mind control that have linked up with the spirit of pride and linked up with selfishness, we break your ties now. We break your ties now in the name of Jesus. And you must pull out of our souls, pull out of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. We come against those spirits of self-containment, self-centeredness, those spirits of self right now in Jesus' name. Manifest yourself and go now in Jesus' name. We come against the spirits of rejection. We come against the spirits of rejection. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. We sever you from the spirit of rebellion right now in the name of Jesus. And we pour the blood. We put a blood wall between rejection and rebellion now. And all you spirits under rejection, fear of rejection. Go now in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go now. All spirits of fear that are lodged in the stomach, causing stomach aches, right now, you go. That scorpion nest of fear, go now in Jesus' name. Manifest yourself and go now. All the way out in Jesus' name. Manifest and go. Go now in Jesus' name. We lose the spirit of trust. We lose faith, hope, and trust upon the people now to drive these demons out. Right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of pride, go. Spirit of pride, go. Loose yourself from the spirit of rejection and go now in Jesus' name. Go now in the name of Jesus. We loose the spirit of humility and obedience upon you, pride. Right now, you have to go in Jesus' name. Rebellion, go. Rebellion. Unwrap, uncoil, and untangle yourself off the minds of the people of God now. Manifest yourself and go. Unwrap and go now in the name of Jesus. And we lose obedience upon you. We drive you out. We drive you out now in the name of Jesus. Obedience to the name of the Lord. Obedience in his name. Obedience to his word. Manifest and go, rebellion, now. Unwrap, uncoil, and untangle and go now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, robo sacarana moyeridiose. Oh, robo sacanara. Crochenana. Mete corobo sacanana. Le rose na na rando se ka 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 ka. Spirits of Prince Charming, go. Spirits of Prince Charming, go. The orator, go now in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go. Move off the people of God. Come out of their hearts. Come out of their minds. Come out of the will and the emotions now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, ra sa ka 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 ka. Oh, robo sa ka ka da da da. Ro sa ka da da. Fear of relationship, fear of relationship, fear of commitment. Manifest yourself and go now. In the name of Jesus, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit that's saying, I ain't going nowhere. I bind and break your power now over that person in the name of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus to you. You cannot speak to them anymore. In the name of Jesus, manifest and go now. Get out in Jesus' name. Oh, rasa karose mayarara. Ke roke kararabo shakana. Ne shokorobo saka. Randirio seririo soka. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord. For there is none like you, O Lord. There is none like you, O Lord. manifest and go. All you demons go. The strong man has been bound, and every demon that the Lord would have moved today, you must go in the name of Jesus. All of you soul ties, breaker spirits, go. Ungodly soul ties to mother, ungodly soul tied to father, ungodly soul tied to ex-boyfriend and ex-girlfriend, ungodly soul tied to any organization and any church. You must manifest yourself and go. We cut you asunder by the Spirit of the living God. We loose the sword of the Lord against you to cut off your soul ties right now in Jesus' name. You have no more authority over these God's people in the mighty name of Jesus. You must go. You must loose them and let them go. And Father, I thank you and I give you praise that the people have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. And we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father God, that the people of God will not operate in the spirit of unforgiveness or bitterness, that this spirit must go in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that you're driving them out by your spirit in the name of Jesus so that they will be set free, that they may operate in the things of God, that they may operate by your spirit, that they may reach their destiny, O God, in Jesus' name. All of you devils, go. Line up and go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, spirits of witchcraft, go. Manifest and go, witchcraft. Manifest and go, witchcraft. Spirits of fornication and lust, manifest yourself and go right now. In Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Lust, go. Bondage, go. Manifest yourself and go in Jesus' name. Everybody out. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you have no authority over this vessel. You have no authority over the people of God. You must manifest yourself and go now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We break every curse that has ever been spoken over the men and women of God at the sound of my voice. We break every curse that will cause them to backslide. We break every curse that will cause them to be continually soul tied to ungodly people making bad decisions. We break that soul tie. We break that curse right now in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. All the way out in Jesus' name. Manifest yourself and go. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle off of the mind of the people in Jesus' name. Off the mind of the people. Go in Jesus' name. Old habits, old ways of doing things. Old ways of doing things the same way you've always done it because you're afraid to make a change. I break that curse right now over the people of God. I break it over the pastors and the ministers that are afraid to get with the new flow of God. I break that off of their minds, their wills, and their emotions in the name of Jesus. I curse that right now in Jesus' name. I curse it off, break it off the people of God now in Jesus' name. There will be a flow. There will be a flow. There is a new thing in God. Every day His mercies are new every day. His grace is new every day. We just decree that you will loose the people of God and let them go. And they will walk in the newness of God. They will walk in the newness of God. They will walk with the freshness of their minds and the freshness in their hearts in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you'll take us to another level. God, another level, God, another level, God, in the name of Jesus, that we'll have more understanding and more revelation from you, God, in the name of Jesus. Everybody out in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All self-gratification, manifest yourself and go. As it manifests in eating, as it manifests in smoking and drinking, and anything that would tear the people of God, to tear their bodies down, you must manifest yourself and go. Spirit of gluttony, go now. In the name of Jesus, they will not be soul tied to food. They will not be soul tied to Coca-Cola's and Pepsi. Manifest yourself and go in the name of Jesus. Loose the people of God now in the name of Jesus. Manifest and go now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you praise and glory and honor that by your Spirit, our systems will be cleaned like a colon cleanser. And everything that is in our body from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet will be driven out in the name of Jesus. That our bodies will be clean and that we'll not be soul tied to food. We'll not be soul tied to anything but you, God. In the name of Jesus, our bodies will not have craving for ungodly things and excess in any shape, form, or fashion. We break and bind that curse off of us now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Too much television, Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, we praise you. We thank you for discernment of spirits. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that for faith, hope, and love and trust in you, oh God, we break and bind the spirit of bitterness. Bitterness, 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 deep-rooted bitterness, keeping us from being so tied to you, God. We break and bind the spirit of bitterness now in the name of Jesus. You must manifest and go. Bitterness and gall. Bitterness and gall, bitterness and gall, bitterness and gall. Manifest yourself and go now. In the name of Jesus, all the way out, you devils, all the way out. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All the way out. Offenses that have caused hurt and pain and rejection, manifest yourself and go now in the name of Jesus. We bind and break your power now over the people of God in Jesus' name. You must manifest yourself and go. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Manifest yourself and go. Loose the people in God. Come out of their stomach. Come out of their soul. Come out of the mind and will and emotions. Go, devil. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hidden lust, hidden lust, hidden lust go. Hidden lust go. Hidden lust, hidden lust go. Manifest from behind the eyes and go now in the name of Jesus. Lust for the world, lust of the eyes, manifest and go in Jesus' name. Everybody go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We come against those spirits that would keep us from walking in our destiny. We come against those spirits that have been set up, curses that have been spoken over our lives, Father God, that would keep us from walking in the pastoral anointing, the evangelistic anointing, the apostolic anointing, the prophetic anointing, the evangelistic anointing, the teacher's anointing. Specific devils set up and assigned against your people. We break your power now. You must manifest and go. And they have liberty and freedom to operate in the giftings and the callings that God has placed on their lives. You must go now in the name of Jesus. You will not call them to backslide or draw back. But we say no in the name of Jesus. The buck stops here. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, glory, and honor, God, that they shall go forth, that they shall speak forth the word of God. Pure, unadulterated word of God in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go, devils. Loose the people of God. Come out of their thought processes. Come out of their belief system now. In the name of Jesus, manifest and go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Out of the belief system. Out of the belief system in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Father, we thank you for the good soul ties that we have with you. We thank you for the good soul ties that we have with each other. We thank you for the good soul ties that we have with leadership. We thank you, Father God, that you have opened a path and a direction for us to go in. And we give you praise, glory, and honor, Father God, that by your power and with your strength, we can do all things. And we will walk in that you have called us to walk in Jesus' name. We give you the praise. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. We bind and break the spirit of backlash and retaliation right now. In Jesus' name, we curse those spirits at the root. We thank you, Father God, for every spirit of deliverance, that every place they have received deliverance, your word right now is springing up like rivers of living water to overtake and overshadow and to water that garden of your word, for your fruit and your spirit shall be able to grow, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we have a peaceable spirit. We thank you, Father God, for the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. We thank you that our loins are girdled about with truth. We thank you that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We thank you, Father God, that we understand the shield of faith. And we thank you, Lord and God, that we shall continue to read your word so that we shall become accurate with your word, that we shall become excellent swordsmen, God, that we'll be able to use your word, Father God, and that we will not forget to use the most important gift, and that is love. God, we thank you that you are love. God is love. Your word says it, and we believe it, and we open to receive your love into our hearts, that when we minister to people, that we minister out of our heart of love, God, and that we pour out on them all that you would have them to behalf. We thank you for this deliverance. We thank you for this word. And we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Want some personal ministry? Just you and Jesus in the privacy of your own home? Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.